And now, Tales from the Tech Bench with Max and Anthony.
All right, hey everybody, welcome back to Tales from the Tech Bench. Today we're going to be talking about something, a little bit of informational stuff, and we're going to be centering that discussion around the big I. By the big I mean internet. We're going to be talking about how some of that works, some of the things there are out there as far as internet, provider-wise, different types, maybe a little bit of tech-splaining, maybe a little bit of ranting, because I've had to deal with some of these recently, and they've been nothing but problems.
It's going to be a fun time. We hope you guys enjoy.
Yeah.
What is the big I? Let's start off with that.
What is the big I? Big I. Well, the big I, you know what? I can answer that. The big I, if we're talking about the actual big I, those are the larger companies. The larger companies, there's one in particular I wanted to talk about, and I kind of alluded to it in the last episode. I'm not going to name any names, okay? But they rhyme with rectum, and I've had to deal with them a lot lately. They are nothing. Oh, go ahead.
There's a reason we're calling them rectum.
Yeah, they are nothing but trouble. I don't want to go too far on that they're horrible. Let's take a logical approach. I'd like to talk about the differences between internets, what makes them good, what makes them bad. You have some larger internet companies, cable internet companies, DSL companies. There's some that do wireless. There's satellite companies, some of the newer satellite companies I'm sure you've all heard of. Anyway, when you break it down, you have usually a couple of large providers in an area and then a handful of local providers, depending on how populated your area is. There are certain benefits of the large companies. The benefits of the large companies are typically pricing. You can usually get a pretty good promo at the beginning if you sign up with one of the large companies. They'll give you a very good introductory price. Another thing about the larger companies, they also tend to have very good coverage. They have availability in a large, wide area. They want that kind of availability because they want your business. They want as many people as possible so that they can keep going and making tons of money. Unfortunately, that's where the pros end for the large companies. Pricing and availability. Where you kind of fall off from that is, if you have the large companies and you have a problem, you call and you get some other country or you get somebody that has no idea what's going on with your service. If your internet goes down, you're pretty screwed. And the larger companies, they have a structure, and I've seen some articles. I'm going to post some of this in our Facebook and our Twitter. You can read about some of these people that work for these companies. They literally take these calls, like when there's an issue. I don't want to name names, but there's a cellular company out there that specifically does like a hotspot internet. Pretty popular. But their callers, their call center, is literally on a time crunch to get you off the phone, regardless if your problem is solved or not. They have a 60-second and a 3-minute time period. If they're not solved by then, whatever it may be, like it's resolved, your internet's back, or not, they need to keep that call under 3 minutes. So that makes it an incentive for them to talk to you and get you off the phone no matter what. That is not good customer service. They are not helping you. They are simply getting you off the phone as fast as possible, and they're doing whatever they can to satisfy you at that point. Typically, if you sit on the phone with them for 60 seconds to 3 minutes, you're going to be calling back for another 3 minutes and another 3 minutes, getting absolutely nowhere. So to sum it all up, these large companies, they don't really have the greatest support system. Another bad thing about the larger companies is after those promos are done, say a year or 2 years later, the price goes up to usually twice as much, if not more. They count on you not paying attention they know you are going to keep their internet and you're going to not know when that year or that 2 year period is up, and then your bill is going to go up and you're not going to see it. And for some people, they never notice it because they just keep paying and they pay. But for somebody who has a budget, for somebody who has to watch their expenses, that's a big deal if all of a sudden your internet costs more than it did. I think that kind of practice should be done away with. They should just give you the good price as long as they can. The whole 2 year agreement sounds like a contract, and I just don't approve of it. Another thing about it is a lot of times the support, how they don't care, even if you did get somebody that cared and knew what they were talking about with these big companies, they're nowhere around you. They don't know your circumstance. They don't know your infrastructure. A lot of times they're somewhere overseas. So even if they had somebody who's qualified, somebody who knew how to help you with what you have, they're so far away, they can't run the proper tests. They can't look at your equipment. There's no way they're going to come to your house and look at it. That's a huge negative for these companies. For some consumers, that are on a budget, you get the 2 year or 1 year promo. Sure, I understand that. But let's talk about another aspect of it, businesses. So whereas I can recommend a large company for some consumers, for businesses, I would almost never recommend a large company. A business, a small business or a large business, needs a personal touch. They have special network infrastructure. Say you have some sort of voice over IP calling. Say you have some special connection to another office. You need to have somebody who has an intimate knowledge of your network, or you're screwed. A smaller company, a smaller local company, or even a larger local company, local companies can give you that hands-on experience because they set up your network more often than not. Let's talk about the pros and cons of those. The pros of local businesses and local companies for internet, you have a company that usually is the one that puts it into place. They have literally set up the internet that you have. They know the parts, the equipment that's there. Whereas with the larger companies, they mail you the stuff and they say, plug it in. It's not the same. So if something goes wrong, that's a huge benefit for a small company. They know exactly what hardware it is. They know how they set it up. They can fine tune it. They can come out and look at it. They're there. Another good thing about local companies is a lot of times if you have a local company that gives you, say, a price that's a little bit more, it usually is a static price. And by static, I mean it doesn't change. It's one of those pricing places where that company charges a little bit more, but doesn't give you some sort of contract that you have to watch for. And that's a huge benefit too. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to think about your bill going up. You're not getting into any horrible contract. So to sum up, with businesses, I think getting a smaller company is probably one of the most important things you can do for internet providers, because you are going to need help at some point. And if you have somebody outsourced, you're going to end up getting somebody locally to try and help you. And that's where I come in. So I've got a story for you. I know I'm going to talk for a while. So I had this story with this particular company.
So Max, tell me a story about a guy.
About a guy? You want me to tell you a story about a guy? Do you really want me to say that?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like it should be good. Like, wow, that's what it is. It's about a guy.
This is a story about a guy. All right. I'm not going to say it. That was first season. I don't go back in time, God damn it.
Okay, fine. Go ahead. We don't have to bring that back up. Okay. Continue your story.
All right. Let me tell you a story about an internet company. So I'm at this business, and it's a nice enough business. They're just kind of getting their location off the ground here locally. What they needed to do is they needed to set up a special setup with their other office. So they had another office that's 2 hours away in another city. First, let me tell you about something that internet providers give you. So there's a couple of different types of internet connection that you can have at your location as a consumer or a business. One of them is a static IP. Now, a static IP, well, an IP is actually an address that you're assigned. It's how to connect with you and how you connect to the internet. It's your number. It's like four numbers. That's your address. And those addresses can be that static or dynamic. If it's static, it never changes. If it's dynamic, it can change. If you turn off your stuff, turn it back on, you might get a new address. You might have moved and you didn't even know it. So these addresses are specifically this way for a purpose. The majority of static IPs are for businesses. The reason why a business needs a static IP is where we get to the other portion of these IPs, the addresses that you have, how we dial into that person. There's public, and then there's private. A public IP is an IP address, or your address, where it can be seen by another place. So I here on my computer could look at Joe Bob across the street. I could type in their address, hit it with what's called a ping, and say, and it would bounce back and it'd say, hey, I'm over here. I wouldn't know exactly where they are, but I'd know that that address existed. If it's private and I did it, I wouldn't get anything. The reason why people would need a static IP is some of these businesses need to be connected to each other. So you have to be able to see that other person. Which brings me to the next portion. There is a thing called a VPN. I'm sure you guys have heard commercials about VPNs to hide your identity and protect your identity, that sort of thing. Well, there's a different type of VPN where it creates a link between two places. It's as if they're right there together. So you could be in one town that's 2 hours away from another town. You create the site-to-site VPN, and it connects them with two static IPs that are public, where they can see each other. And when you connect those two cities, it's like those two offices are right next to each other. So I could be here in my office, and Anthony could be 2 hours away in the other office, and we could just type over the network to each other like we're right there. I could drop a file in his box right on the computer and Anthony could see it. Super easy. The reason why you need that mostly is for businesses and for using databases, if you have a lot of customers, that sort of thing. Another thing about static IPs is it's really good for IT professionals to be able to connect to somebody because you and public IPs for that. In addition to that, so that I can log into somebody's network as a business and make changes if they need to be made, or to log into certain equipment like, oh, I'm checking it out now and I'm looking at your stuff and looks like it's all good. So now let me move to the story now that I'm done tech-splaining. So I'm at this business. This business needed this static IP to create this link between the two places. We got on the phone with this large cable internet company that I spoke of earlier. And the problem was they had the static IP part correct, but it wasn't public. Couldn't see it. So we hooked it up between the locations and it wasn't working. We can't connect. Nothing's going on. And I called the company and I was on there with them for about an hour, hour and a half. And some lady in another country is telling me, oh, well, a static IP, that's not public, that's private. And I was like, what are you talking about? Make it public. Oh no, they can't be public. What? What's wrong with you? And I'm standing there arguing with this lady over the phone about what I just explained to you guys. Make it a public static IP. And they said, nope, we can't do that. A static IP is private all the time, which is goes against everything I've been taught and everything that actually exists the way it is. So I argue with her and she tries a bunch of stuff for like an hour, hour and a half. And eventually I get off the phone and they decide to send a tech out. So and they're going to send a tech out. It's going to be coming on Monday. This is Friday that I call them and I go through this brutal process of trying to deal with these people on the phone that have no idea, like I said, with what's going on, where I'm at. On Monday, I get there and the tech is there. And I say to the tech, so this is supposed to be a static IP that's public. We just need to connect this. He's like, oh, sure. Seems like a nice enough guy. Dude was cool as a cucumber when I first saw him. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll have this done in like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. No problem. And I'm thinking to myself, this is great. He understands what I'm saying. I've explained it. He has confirmed, yes, I will get you a public static IP. 1.5 hours later, there's nothing in place. And this guy's on the phone and he's sweating bullets. And I know exactly what's going on. He is talking to the same lady, and there he is standing in front of me. He says, well, they're telling me this. Yeah, that's what they told me. They told me it's not public. And he's just like, you know, and when you got here, we talked about exactly what should be going on here, right? He's like, yep, that's exactly what it should be. Let's try something else. We tried a bunch of stuff. Nothing worked. And I came to the conclusion that this big cable internet company that rhymes with rectum doesn't have the ability to do what they say they can. And that's a huge problem. So about 2 hours later, the guy who's sweating bullets, the tech guy, I thought this was going to be a quick fix. The people that own the business, they're just kind of sitting over like, what's going on? They're super frustrated, almost in a comical way, watching this guy sweat. And I feel bad for the guy. The guy is like stressing super hard. And I'm like, dude, I understand. You just got sent out to fix something and to do something that you have no ability to do. And I knew it was done when he started talking about his diet. I'm like, so we're going to just drop the whole internet thing and you're going to tell me about how you're eating only meat. All right, man. Well, I'm going to get out of here. So the tech guy leaves. I told him I would try to follow up. To conclude my story and kind of my tech explaining, it doesn't matter what you do on a local level. Some of these larger companies are not able to help you. You have to have somebody who understands the local network to make it work. And it is what it is.
Yeah. Shitty situation, man.
Yeah, it super sucked. And when that guy was standing there and he's like, where's a good place to eat? I kind of need just only meat. You know, I'm eating this meat. And then he starts going on about the diet. I'm like, you just segued from static IPs to the burger you're going to go get. You are done, sir. I'm like looking at him. You're done. You've already left. Yeah. Checks in the mail. You're out of the building.
He's defeated.
Mm-hmm. He was totally defeated. And I was like, ugh, brutal. Absolutely brutal.
I mean, that's, well, like you said, that's a downside to big corporations like that.
Yeah.
Maybe this guy should have known. Maybe this guy knew that what he was trying to do was impossible. Maybe he didn't. But if
I feel bad for him,
if this internet company promises something that, or that they can't do, but they still send somebody out to try to please the customer, even though the satisfaction is never reached, then
they sell it right there on their website. Right there on their website, they explain it. It's horrible.
Yeah, I think that they need to get knocked down a peg.
Yeah, and I think it just, if a business is going into it like that, they just need to go local. As long as it's a company that's capable of it, go with a local company. At least you're going to get somebody that knows what's up and can go to their main office. Like, when are you going to go to the main office? A lot of times, like with the DSL company we have in town, they don't even have an office. Who do you go to? You have to call somebody in BFE.
Mm-hmm.
It's never fun. It's like pulling teeth trying to get help with the larger DSL companies because it's antiquated. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as internet types, DSL is old school. There's like so much newer stuff. There's cable internet is pretty prominent now. What are some others? There's,
well, the big hotness of today is satellite internet.
Yeah, sure, there's satellite. Satellite's really good. I mean, for some people.
For for the people that are out and about and can't have cables drilled.
Yeah. You know,
20 miles out of town, then it's good.
We've set up a few satellites. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
We could name his company. I mean, we're talking about Elon here.
Mm-hmm.
It's he's got a pretty good satellite gig.
It's fast growing. It's I think it has over a million, like 1 point something million people now.
Is it really?
In the past, and that's only been 3 years since it's been up in operation. So I mean, it's huge.
Wow, that's honestly really good.
Like having over a million people is having just a million people is. I mean, you're a big company at that point. A million customers.
Well, you're trying to tell me that Elon Musk has some big companies. That's crazy.
I'm just saying he grew one in, I think, out of nowhere. But I'm sure the development of it was in the books for a long time. But it seemed like out of nowhere, he grew it in 2 years to be on rival with most internet companies today, unless you look at the big guys. Like this shitty rectum internet. The leaps that it took as fast as it did is great. It's just it has its downsides too.
Oh yeah. Like I would never use Starlink, I'll just say it. I would never use Starlink for a business. There's no way. Like, what if you needed support with them? Their support is non-existent.
No.
It's a great service if you know what you're doing, but you can't call anybody.
Yeah.
You're on your own with that one. And if you're somebody like us that knows how to install it, set it up, it's not bad. Another thing I wouldn't do for all you gamers out there, wouldn't do Starlink either. Starlink has issues. If you're playing a game that's fast-paced, competitive, or online, that thing switches from satellite to satellite. You're going to have a little bit of drop every once in a while when that switches satellite, and that could be you losing your game.
Yeah, it's for sure a good guy. Every company has its downside, but
when
you start either lying about what your company is capable of, or you can't promise a feature that your company provides, then that company should be penalized. I don't know how you go about doing that, but
there should just be a standard.
It's like, why are these companies allowed to, if it's promoting a certain aspect of its business and it's a blatant lie, like how do they get away with it? If you're that big of a company, you got to have that many more people catching you in these acts. How are they able to stand?
Yeah, it's because of accountability. Like, if you can't hold them accountable.
And that's another downside.
But you don't even have an office to go to.
Yeah, it's not a downside to
on an island.
Big guy, you know, like there's no personability. It's like, well, you're just another number on the phone. So your opinion and your anger and your upsetness with our company doesn't matter because we have 30 million other people that like us. So bye. You become less and less and less the more busy a company is. At least that's what I think.
You know what?
You're more disposable.
I want to talk about another big company. I want to talk about two other big companies that I got beef with. This is going to be a rant episode. We're going that direction. Let's just go down the hill, all right?
All right, let's go.
So, this is not an internet company. But they recently changed their structure. It's another one that I've had to deal with. I'm just going to say it's a large bill paying and bookkeeping software. A really large one. And the way it used to work is with a lot of companies, you used to buy a product, buy a software, and then you owned it and you could use it. But a lot of these larger companies have moved to a different model where you rent it. You never really own it. You kind of pay monthly and you can have access to it, but it's not really yours. And they all want you to do that because they've got you on the hook then. You have to pay every month to access this. Well, there are softwares like this that were out there, for instance, like 8-10 years ago. You had bought the software, you owned it, it works, that's what you're using. A lot of these larger companies, perhaps ones that have operating systems called Windows, and other companies that do bookkeeping software that love the payment model. And what they've done is they've made it so the newer versions are very expensive and the older versions don't work with what you need to do. They've made it so they're not compatible anymore. We just ran into it at the shop. Does anybody out there use Outlook? Like 2010, 2013? Well, it doesn't work anymore. At all. So if you paid for that program, you can't use it for your email. Because of an update they did. An update. Do they have to do that update? No. But the update made rendered it useless for us. So the only solution, if you have this software rendered up useless, is to buy the newer one, which you can still buy as far as that's concerned. You can buy the new Outlook program in Office, and it'll cost you, if you wanted the Outlook version, about $200. But what's to say they won't make that incompatible in a couple of years? Then you'll have to pay them again. Or you can pay $20 a month and get their email service. It's not exactly that, but pay them monthly. They've forced you, or $100 a year for 365, where you don't own it. You just get it for a year. You have a year subscription. That's what they're pushing you into. And the worst one lately is that bookkeeping software. Used to be able to use it. Used to buy it like 10 years ago. So you had the program. And you were good. You've been using it all the way up until 2022. That's right. You were happy. Great. Paid my bills with it. Say you're a small business trying to be successful. Paying my bills. Getting things taken care of with this bookkeeping software. It cost me about $200 back in the day. Well, in 2022, they made it so anything before 2020 was incompatible. You had to get the newer version. It was $250 per license. So if you had three computers, that's $750. Starts to add up really quickly. And none of your old stuff would work. You had to go through a big conversion process. They also have an online version that you can rent but not own. And if you want to buy the full version here in 2023, how much does it cost, Anthony?
Way too much fucking money.
$800. $800 a license. 2022, none of the old versions work. You're going to have to buy this $250 one. And now in 2023, you're going to have to pay for the new version now. 2022 will not work. You have to get it every year. And every year you're going to pay $800 per license, per computer. Holy crap.
It's asinine.
That is so much money. If you're a small business and have three computers with this bookkeeping software from this large bookkeeping company, you're paying $2,400 to them per year. That's a big chunk of change to have to deal with if you want to maintain your books, pay your bills, do your payroll. And payroll, if you add payroll on there, you're damn near $1,500. It's crazy. They're out of hand.
To put it in perspective, yeah, 2013 is 10 years old. But like, if you add up paying for software like this, and there's softwares out there that are way overpriced that probably have support for less years, I'm assuming. But if you pay for this service, like you said, $1,500 for, you know, a year for 10 years, you're paying $15,000 for a program over those 10 years that then becomes obsolete, and then you have to buy the new hotness software.
Yeah, which doesn't do anything. The new version is exact same thing.
It's literally just them flipping a switch saying, we don't want this to be used anymore because we have this other cool program that you can subscribe to that will be up to date for you. It's just we need more money from you. We know that you paid for this office 10 years ago, and thank you for that, but we need more money from you, so
we need more money. Let's shake them up.
It's like there's no way that having these companies run these old softwares is detrimental to these businesses that are massive conglomerates. It's just they're running out of money, or they're just greedy for money and they need more. And so how do they do that? They force people, literally, without warning, or if they did warn you, very little warning, that you're going to be shut off. And if you don't pay for this, you're not going to get your shit that you need for your business that's running.
Which you right need.
Now. Like, it's like, oh, great. So you're either going to shoot me in the foot or break my leg. Like, which one would you want? Like, it's a, you have to bite the bullet essentially.
Another thing about it is they don't give you any warning. Like with the email they did recently, you get there on Monday. On Friday, everything's hunky-dory, working great. On Monday, email doesn't work. If you're a business and that happens, and they don't tell you anything, just all of a sudden doesn't work, that is just downright ruthless. And they've got you in a power play where you have to go and get it right now. You don't have time to compare, figure it out. No, business has to carry on. You're going to lose money if you don't get your email going again.
I'm very curious if there's a statistic of how many businesses were affected, like, at the same time when this whole shit went down last week.
Oh, most definitely.
Like, I want to know how many. Like, if it was just tons of businesses over whatever that weren't reusing their Office 365. Yeah, it's just... And the problem is you can't fight it. You can't fight at all.
No, it's such a big company. They don't care what happens. Yeah. They don't give you any warning, any reason. No, it's just not going to work after that.
Yeah, it's like running out of gas in your car. It's like you can't urge your car to go forward. You have to just go buy more gas. Like
we don't have to support that anymore. It's out of support. Yeah, okay. Why don't you let us know? They let us know when Windows, at least they give us a heads up when Windows is not going to be supported. It's got like about a 10-15 year life cycle. They're like, Windows 7 is losing support. It's going into extended support. But your email? Good luck with that one. No, we did an update. You get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck, Chuck. So bad. So bad. Bad business practice. And then the Office thing. That's probably not life and death, but that's like so much money for businesses.
It was just a loss of money because they were at stalemate for the longest time. Because if you can't process patients, and patients are what runs your business, you're losing business. When your company grows to the point of where you can't control the level of support that comes out of it, you're too big.
You heard that, companies, and you heard that, people. So if you have a company, your support has to grow with the size of the company. That should be the standard. That should be the standard of business growth. You should be able to support your product.
Like, why, if you're able to manage, this is just a little analogy. If you're able to manage one building, let's say it's a fast food restaurant. If you're able to manage a building and it's perfect service, like everything goes smoothly, like obviously there's mistakes and hiccups that happen just through human error and bad customers sometimes, but if you're running a business that is making a profit and it's succeeding in what its job is, but then you open up a second business and it sucks ass, but your first business is still good, what's the point of opening up that second business? What's the point of growing when you don't have the same level of, you're not at the same level as your previous building?
Yeah, you may have to cut your losses and close that second business if it doesn't pay enough.
Not do that. If you do succeed at making the second one, that's how you make a third, and that's how you make a fourth. But if you stop, if you start losing the ability to take care of that, your businesses will fail, which does happen, right? Mm-hmm. That happened to big corporation recently, the big clothing building here that went under after it did a huge renovation. Month after.
Oh man,
I don't know if I could say their name, but I'm gonna say it.
Remember? That's right. Yeah, I remember.
Doubled
they
in
did.
Size.
They redid everything.
They doubled in size, and then they went out of business because they couldn't maintain the size. And the same thing happened with an old job of mine. We opened up a second store right across the street, and we couldn't maintain the level of support for both buildings, and so we lost both stores. It closed.
That's interesting. So these large internet companies and these large other rent-to-own companies where you never really own anything, they're super big. They haven't grown to support, and yet they're still in business just fine. That's crazy how that works.
Well, and the thing is, they have their freaking teeth and claws into these businesses that like medical businesses or businesses that need these services because they've embedded their services or their businesses into said service for a decade or more. Like, yeah. And switching to another service would take even longer.
You'd lose so much money. You can't
buy my new license now.
And they give you no time to actually do that. They say, you better do this now. Oh, you want to look for something else? Well, you've got 2 days. Like, 2 days? Like, you're a big business? 2 days? No, we don't have time for that.
Yeah,
just make it work.
I mean, I get it. I just hate it.
Like, it's big, bad business is what it is. Yeah, big, bad business.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate here. It's so important for the world for this business to be here, but it's also like, why did and how did we let it get out of control? Not that it was ever something that we could control. It's just,
you can't just let this business disappear all of a sudden because there'd be too many people without its resource.
Maybe there is definitely a reason to upgrade softwares that are a decade old. I totally understand pushing people to do and get the better software and the better equipment, because if it's better, it's better. Like, if it's either more secure, if it's faster, if it's less bulky for your system, whatever. Yes, it's obviously beneficial to do that, but forcing people to do it is the shitty part.
Yeah.
That's when it's just like, well, what are all these businesses going to do? Are they going to go on strike and say, no more Microsoft? We're going to.
I don't care if you say it. Everybody knows who that is.
Yeah. I mean, you can. No. Yeah. We're going to another, you know, provider that.
Yeah. We're going to use the other Windows.
Yeah. Like, there's no other thing that they can do unless they go completely 180 and go to the fruit.
For the fruit. You're not talking about oranges either, are you?
I'm not talking about oranges.
Thanks for listening to the episode, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe and stay tuned next week for the new one. And if you want to check us out on our socials, there's lots of cool stuff on there on our Facebook and our Twitter. If you still want more Max and Anthony and Tales from the Tech Bench, head over to Patreon for some extended versions of our podcast where we talk more and we chat more with our guests, and it's pretty cool. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.